Hi. So I'm talking tonight, and you know, I'm pretty nervous on stage, so I'm a little bit nervous right now, but more excited than not. Okay. All right, so God just showed me that one of the big reasons that I'm actually here tonight is just because he wants me to be a representation of him. And that's the only reason I'm here, because I don't like talking in front of people. So, and it's an honor to be here tonight. I just want to say thanks. So, as I said, I grasp that we are like God's representatives, and that struck me hard because, like, I'm not at all close to representing God. I tend to focus on fitting in with the world and, you know, the world's standards, like a lot of people. But the world's standards just go like lower and lower, and God's go higher and higher. And I've been thinking a lot about standards recently, and as much as I've thought about it, I like still don't understand. But what I did get is that the dictionary says that a standard is a model to be followed. And according to this, God should be a standard because God is a model to be followed. And my first thought after I realized this was like, whoa, I couldn't, no, God's perfect. I couldn't, you know, go that high. And then I realized that God wants us to try to be like him and strive to be like him. You know, we are not perfect beings, but he wants us to set this crazy high God standard and work towards him. When I think of standards, I think of this gymnastics bar, you know, the one that you do flips on and stuff. And they raise or lower the bar based on your skill level. And it's really easy to become unsure about, you know, the bar if it's higher, and when it's lower, then it feels kind of like an easy way out. And I just feel like when you set the standards higher, okay. Hopefully you can see where I am with this. Like the world standards are like lower, and they seem like the easiest way, but when you set the bar higher, then it challenges you, and challenges you enough so you can reach the top. And like, I struggle with this so much, because like, I'll go to church, and I'll like be having this great time, and I'll just be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna set the bar so high, and yeah, God. And then I go home, and a couple days later, I'm like, that bar is really high. And I kind of want to lower it again. And so, like, I'll feel so reassured when I'm at church, but it's kind of hard to kind of keep that. So I just lower it to make myself feel more comfortable. And yeah, like, I like comfort. I really do. It's like, I'm all about comfort food and pajamas and all that. And living in my own little bubble of comfort. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's when you sink so deep into your level of comfort and your own little fuzziness that you just become oblivious to everything else. And when you become unwilling to step out of that comfort is when it becomes a bad thing. I have a story. So I was at Barnes & Noble one day. And I was in the cafe, and I just suddenly like got this like this tug from God, like out of nowhere, to just go talk to this lady that was like two tables across from me. And I'm like, I'm not gonna do that. And I'm like, I'm not the type of person, you know, go talk to someone, much less, you know, just talk to them about God. You know, what will they think of me? Oh my gosh. And then I believe my words were, God, if you really care about her, send someone else because I'm not the one to do it. So I left and went downstairs and was standing in the line. And as I stood waiting, like, the scene kept replaying over in my head, and I'm like, get out of my head. God, I'm not going to do it. And then at first, like, I just brushed it off, and then I thought, you know, God understands. He wouldn't make me do something I wasn't comfortable with. And I was like, oh, oops. And so, like, I went back upstairs, and she was still there. So, like, I sat down and talked to her for, like, 20 minutes and just told her that, you know, God wanted to encourage her and stuff. And I invited her to my church. And I saw her the next Sunday walking to her car. So I was like, wow, that's amazing, you know? And so that was just like such an encouragement to me that, you know, like, don't let opportunities pass you by. You know, it's when God gives you an opportunity, just take it and run with it, because he usually always, you know, has a reason. So I'm just like encouraging everybody to just kind of like step out of your comfort zone and raise the bar, because it's really helpful too, especially for the teenagers, because, you know, I've sometimes, you know, been thinking that, you know, I'm just a teenager, what could I do in somebody else's life? But it's actually really amazing to people when like even teenagers, you know, minister to them and everything. So just want to encourage you guys. Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about is love. Not so much romantic love, but more of like just between people love. And like today, love has become like a mixed up term with little meaning. Love is the greatest of all human qualities and is an attribute of God himself. Love involves unselfish service to others, and faith is the foundation and content of God's message. Hope is the attitude and focus, and love is action. When faith and hope are in line, you are free to love completely because you understand how God loves. And it's so hard sometimes to understand how God loves, because he loves unconditionally no matter what. And it's just like, whoa, that's a lot of love. But because we as humans, our natural instinct is to love conditionally. And so it's kind of hard to understand that sometimes. And I'll come back to that later. But we are raised to believe that there are bad people in the world and that there are good people. And I realized that, like, in some churches, you know, you're raised to believe that if someone was bad, we either treated them as though they were evil or if they were charity, because, like, Christianity as a religion was always right. We're always looking down on everybody else. Like, I really hate this, because I want people to genuinely like each other. Hatred seems to me like the product of ignorance, and I'm really tired of biblical ethic being used as a tool to judge people rather than to heal them. And there seems... There seems to be like this war going on between, you know, Christianity versus them, you know, the homosexuals, the environmentalists, and the feminists. And like in a previous church I attended, there was like no tolerance for these people whatsoever. It was like, you know, there was like this line, and it was like, don't talk to them because they're over on that side of the line. And I saw a real problem with it. The problem with Christianity as a religion today is that we tend to use love like money or a commodity. Because when somebody offers us something, popularity, time, gifts, what have you, we feel like they have value. We feel like they are worth something to us, and perhaps we feel like they are priceless. We withhold affirmation from people who do not agree with us, but we lavishly finance the ones who did. Like, when I realized this, I was like, oh, I use love like money. That's not good, you know? But it's a human tendency, I think, you know. And so that's why, that's kind of what I understood about how it's hard to understand God's love sometimes, is because he just doesn't work like that at all. His is always unconditional, I love you no matter what, but sometimes we as humans go into this, you know, use love like money kind of thing. And let's see, here's something very simple that I learned about people. That nobody will listen to you if they sense that you don't like them. Because if a person senses that you do not like them, then everything you say, your political views, your religious ideas, they all seem wrong. But if they sense that you like them, then they are open to what you have to say. Because we as Christians are supposed to speak the truth in love. And the Bible says that if you talk to somebody with your mouth and your heart does not love them, then you are like a person standing there smashing two cymbals together. You're only annoying everybody around you. And that statement is so true. Because, that's why it's so important as Christians to show love to other people and love on other people. Because when that happens, then they're more open to what you have to say, and they're more open to God in general, you know? Because they're like, oh, well, you're a Christian and you like me, so okay, that's cool. I guess I'm open to what you have to say about God now. It's weird, but it works that way. Personally, I really look forward to the day when Jesus comes back and what you are on the surface doesn't define you. Because I think it'll be like heaven in that sense. You know, being taught the truth that people matter regardless of their faults, regardless of their insecurities, that has to be a piece of heaven. You'll be able to see things differently and see people for who they really are. Because we have the power to bring a little of heaven into the lives of others every day. You know, loving on people and just encouraging people and everything, I've actually been having fun with that. Because it's, okay, personally, my most rewarding thing in this world is knowing that I've made a positive difference in the life of somebody else. I can't get enough of that, so I do that quite a bit. thank you. okay, so for a time, I never felt for a second that I was worth anybody's compliments. I'm one of those people who can make it look like I have everything together and that I'm completely normal. But only the people closest to me can see if there's a problem. But you know, we're all searching for answers. There's not one person in this room who has it all completely together. But at the point in my life when I was really down on myself, the thing that I learned from that, the one amazing principle, was love your neighbor as yourself. It sounds so conceited, but it's true. Like, when I first heard it, I was like, no, that sounds all wrong and selfish, but it's actually very, very important. I would never talk to other people the way I talk to myself, ever. God was saying, that's what God was saying, and somehow I had come to believe that it was wrong to kick other people around, but it was okay to do it to myself. And it became very clear to me that I was falling apart because I would not let myself receive love from myself, from others, or from God. Once I realized my problem, I stopped. I really did. And I mean it. I stopped hating myself. After that, I couldn't believe how beautiful it was to receive and give love, because it just really changes you. And so God taught me yet another lesson, that true inner strength is receiving love as much as it comes from giving it. This is possibly the greatest lesson I have ever learned, because when you get it, it changes you. It's truly the key to happiness, because God's love will never change us if we don't accept it. I think love is a bit of heaven, because we are not about ourselves, but we're about each other. It's wonderful because you forget your problems. When you're in love, there's somebody in the world who is more important than you are, and that's truly a miracle. Other people keep our souls alive, just like food and water does with our body. The soul needs to interact with other people to be healthy. Jesus doesn't want us floating through space in front of our televisions. God wants us interacting, eating together, laughing together, praying together, searching after God together. If loving other people is a bit of heaven, then certainly isolation is a bit of hell. And to that degree, here on earth, we decide in which state we would like to live. Has it always been hard to find yourself? It sounds really simple and perhaps silly, but somehow it just seems that I tend to lose myself way too often. I tend to pick up like a lot from other people, just little harmless habits and the not so harmless habits. But my biggest personal problem in life is my absolute inability to see myself as God sees me. This surfaced the year I turned 13. I struggled to identify myself as someone in whom God delights. I struggled to identify myself at all. I hungered for the affirmation I lacked from my family and friends, and I started hanging out with other people who didn't respect me or have my best interests at heart. Words can cut deeper than you might realize. By trying to gain control of my life, I lost it. And as a result, my thought process spun from not feeling pretty enough to feeling like a failure, you know, unworthy of God's love, all that stuff. The internal war within me intensified enormously because I wanted control, I wanted affirmation and love, but on the other hand, I was starting to feel really sick. And I knew that if I didn't start taking better care of myself, that I was going to die. Overcoming anorexia was the hardest thing I have ever done. Not only did I have to fight my feelings of insecurity and fear, but I also knew that I had to abandon my strong need for love from people. That revelation used to scare me like nothing else. Then the realization hit me that I had God's love to replace that. And His love is like so abundant and so overwhelming that there's too much of it to fit in my heart. There's way too much of it. So it's like, okay, well, I can give up my need for love from people and just replace that with God, but it's like so uneven. It's like God's love is so huge, and just like once I realized that, I accepted it, and it just completely overflowed my heart. Leaning on the love of Jesus and not on other people was the hardest lesson I have ever learned, but possibly the most important. In closing, I'm never mad at God for the trials He allowed me to go through. Far from it, I'm actually very glad that I went through them now while I'm young, because He's preparing me for something greater when I'm older. I have grown so much from the things I went through, and I thank God every day for helping me go through them. It's such a proof of God's love when He prepares us for what's coming. Thank you.